السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
Even before the claim of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, he received this revelation which he continued to receive until the end of his life on a number of occasions, which is Yansuruka Rijalun Nuhi Ilayhi Minas Sama. The revelation means that people whom we shall direct by revelation from heaven will help you. In 1907, he also received the revelation that Yatuna min kulli fajjin amik. That they will be coming to you by every distant track. This revelation has been fulfilled most spectacularly in various forms at various times and continues to be fulfilled even today. People have come to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, from different places and at different times. In other words, in the life of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, this occurred, and after the demise of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, through the continuing establishment of Khilafat-e Ahmadiyyat, these people flocked to the Khalifa. Today as well, such people continue to come who become helpers of Khilafat. Allah the Almighty not only causes their hearts to incline in this direction to become helpers, but furthermore, in order to fulfill the mission of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, a great passion, zeal, and commitment and devotion is produced in their hearts. Subsequently, they give everything in order to fulfill this, and they become the Sultan and Nasir, the helpers towards the promised Messiah and Khilafat. They become as if the arms and hands to help the Khalifa. The people of this type, in accordance with the Quranic commandment, the Tafaqquh fi Deen, become well versed in matters of religion and convey the message of the truthful religion to their fellow countrymen. And they dedicate their entire lives to fulfill this. There are many such people who came from these far-off places, where until the 60s and 70s of the 20th century, the state of communication and of letter writing, etc., was that it would take often 6 months for letters to reach the recipient. So for people to come from this background and to come into the system of sacrificing their entire life and with complete conviction and faith to learn the religion properly and in depth and to do waqf, to sacrifice their lives completely for the faith and then consequently to fulfill the devotion absolutely. And furthermore, to be ready to make every single possible sacrifice for the cause of the movement. So where all of this, on the one hand, is proof of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, there, on the other hand, the sacrifice of such persons to still be seen by people today is also a proof and truth of Ahmadiyyat. Even more so, this testifies to the fact that such people are truly righteous. As a result of their qualities of righteousness and sincerity, Allah the Almighty looks upon them mercifully. Allah the Almighty selects such people and forms them into brilliant stars. At the present time, I will mention such a righteous and faithful and loyal person towards the Jamaat, whose name was Maulvi Wahab Adam. He left a country in Africa at that time in order to sacrifice his life for the faith, in order to become a helper of Khilafat, with the resolute determination that now I, using all my capabilities and abilities, will fulfill this mission that I am devoting my life to. He came into the fore at such a time when Rabwah was still just being populated. The means of communication in Africa at the time was such that it would take many months to communicate with one another. This beloved, holy brother of ours, this truly devoted and dedicated soldier of Khilafat, who would act upon every indication of the Khalifa, and every decision and verdict that would be made by the Khalifa of the time, he with absolute conviction would accept it. Even the smallest of the instructions of the Khalifa, even the desire and the wish of the Khalifa would leave him restless and yearning in order to fulfill it. When I spent more than 8 years in Ghana and I worked with him, at that time, even then, I saw his connection and devotion with Khilafat as I have just related. After I became the Khalifa, with me also, his obedience, his submission, his devotion and his loyalty, he did not allow to be affected in any way after I became the Khalifa. As everyone is aware, Maulvi Wahab Adam Sahib passed away in the last few days. For the approximately last year, he stayed here and returned in March or perhaps the end of February. The time period that covers the services to the movement of the servant of the faith span over 50 years. His services, his personality, his role and characteristics, and the accounts of his devotion and loyalty cannot be all encompassed in a short period of time. Nonetheless, I'll present to you some details which will highlight some aspects of his life. First of all, Ahmadiyyat in his family started through his mother and father. Wahab Sahib's son informs that Wahab Sahib was a born Ahmadi. His father, Suleiman K. Adam Sahib, and his mother, Aisha Akwa Sahiba, accepted Ahmadiyyat. Bashir Sahib was the Amir of Ghana at the time, or was a missionary over there. Wahab Sahib's father was a mu'allim at the time. Wahab Adam Sahib did not see his father in an age of maturity because his father passed away when he was at a very young age. The mother said that the father had a keen desire that Wahab Sahib should become a missionary of the community. So in order to fulfill this desire of the father, the mother sent Wahab Sahib with Basharat Bashir Sahib to Rabwa. Wahab Sahib had never even seen the picture of his father, and just a short while ago someone showed him the picture in which there was also the picture of Wahab Sahib's father. Then he came to know that this was his father. Wahab Sahib was born in the Rolfiodro village in the Ashante region in the Liardansi district. He was born in December 1938. He acquired his elementary education from United Middle School. Later, he studied at the Ahmadiyya Secondary School in Kumasi. There, he completed his education. So nonetheless, he studied for some time, but then later he dedicated his life and did waqf. In 1952, he was enrolled in Jamia Ahmadiyya Rabwa and was sent there to acquire his education. In 1960, he achieved his Shahid degree from Jamia Ahmadiyya Rabwa. He returned to Ghana. There, he was posted in various places as a regional missionary. And he was unable to continue serving there until 1969, in this first region. Thereafter, he was made the principal of the Jamiat al-Mubashirin in Salt Pond, Ghana. The circumstances at the time were such that there were small mud huts. There were no bathrooms. Straw mats used to be stood on their sides, and also wooden sticks, and makeshift toilets were made in this manner. This can no longer even be perceived in Africa. He told me once that the state of the toilets was such that they would place two stones or bricks, would bring water from afar, and then use that water for washing. In other words, this was the very early period and the circumstances were as such. In 1971, Wahab Sahib was appointed to the UK as the deputy imam of the Fazil Mosque, and he continued to fulfill this responsibility until 1974. In 1975, he was appointed as the Amir missionary in charge of Ghana. And he served in this capacity for approximately 39 years until his demise. So somebody has written that when the numbers of people increased in Ghana, in the Jamaat, it was considered that there should be an increase in the central missionaries rather than mu'allimeens. So for this purpose, Hazrat Khalif Tumasi II said that some youth should be brought here to Rabwa to be trained. Or to Rabwa. So at the time, two small children at the age of 14 and 15, Abdul Wahab Adam Sahib and Bashir bin Saleh Sahib, were sent to Pakistan, as I said. With great endeavor, with great commitment, with great passion, they made efforts to complete their education. In 1957, Saleh Sahib, due to the heat, fell ill. He was sent back to Ghana, but the illness proved fatal, and on 16th November 1958, Saleh Sahib passed away at the age of 19. Wahab Sahib then continued studying in Jamia alone for 8 years. He achieved his Shahid degree there, and he became a Markazi, a central Muballigh missionary, and went to Ghana. By the time he went to Ghana, the Jamaat had increased somewhat there. People were greater inspired and had more passion, and thus started sending the children to Jamia Ahmadiyya Rabwa. Thereafter, 8 or 10 became missionaries. Then there were some restrictions placed. And now in Ghana, there are missionaries being prepared locally. There is an international jamia where young people come from different countries in Africa and they complete the Shahid course. On one occasion when he was in Rabwa, the ambassador from Ghana visited there. Wahab Saib informed him how Rabwa was populated, how it was a barren land and people had made sacrifices. He presented all the accounts in such a manner that it led the ambassador to say, "If someone does not believe in God, nor believes in the oneness of Allah the Almighty, then after hearing this account, most certainly he'll come to believe in the existence of God, in the manner that Rabwa came to be populated." So Wahab Saab never let any opportunity go to waste to do preaching. So he explains himself how he spent the early period in Rabwa. He said there was no electricity, there was no drinking water, it had to be brought from far off. There were no buildings. The roof of the hostel was made of mud, as was the flooring. When it rained, the roof would leak and would cause flooding on the ground. In fact, he would say, sometimes jokingly, that even their luggage and suitcases would start floating in the water. So this was the state and condition of the time. Then a building was purchased in Ahmednagar and the Jamia started there. There was a hostel for those who had come from abroad. There was one person there from England, one person there from Germany, Abdul Shakur Sahib. From America, there was another person. There was a white American and also an African American. There was a person from Trinidad, from China. Was Usman Jini Sahib, Ibrahim Wan Sahib and Idris Wan Sahib. So thus, this was a hostel comprising of different people. People came from different countries and all resided there. There are only one or two who remained as missionaries. All the rest left it. Or some people, they achieved their education but then started their own other work. So Wahab Saab relates an incident. When he was studying in Jamia Ahmadiyya Rabwa, then at one stage he started encountering difficulties in some subjects, for example, logic and jurisprudence in Urdu. The time for the examinations approached, and they were extremely worried. Amri Abedi Sahib was also studying at the time from Tanzania. Abedi Sahib suggested Wahab Sahib to go to Mulana Ghulam Rasul Rajiki Sahib and request him for prayers. So they went to him, who was reading a book at the time. When he saw Wahab Sahib, he put the book to one side and asked him what the problem was. So Amri Abedi Sahib said, and Wahab Sahib, who was also there, that we are going to have our exams. We are finding it very difficult, so please pray for us. So Rajiki Sahib put his hand up in prayer and said, you also join me in supplication. After the prayer, Rajiki Sahib said, whilst praying, I saw in a vision the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. And I saw that he was putting his blessed hands over both of your heads. I understand the interpretation of this dream to be that Allah will give you success by virtue of the blessings of the promised Messiah. So he relates that this is exactly what happened. Miraculously, everything seemed easy afterwards. The study seemed much simpler. We gave the exams and it seemed really easy. When the results were released, Wahab Adam Sahib came first in his entire class. He was also blessed with other honors that he achieved. The first Central African missionary was Wahab Sahib. The first Ghanaian Amir and missionary in charge was Wahab Sahib. The first African Ahmadi, who in representation of Khalifatul Masih was made Amir Muqami Rabwa, was Wahab Sahib. The first Central missionary from Africa who was unable to serve in Europe was Wahab Sahib. The first African who was made an honorary member of Majlis Iftar was also Wahab Sahib. In representation of the center, he was sent to countries such as Canada, Germany, Benin, Mali, Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Jamaica, to travel to all these countries as a representative of the center. He was enabled to carry out a lot of research regarding Islam, race, and Christianity, and he wrote many articles on this. He also established a foundation under the name of his mother for the needy people. During his time as the Amir, the Jamaat Ahmadiyya Ghana achieved great progress. There were some schools already, but many more schools were formed. Some were re-established, some had improvements made within them. More than 400 schools of Jamaat Ahmadiyya are present there. There are teacher training colleges. Jamiat al-Mubashirin, Jamia International are all prominent achievements. There are 7 large hospitals, 2 homeopathic clinics, which are all in operation in Ghana. In addition, there is also other social welfare work continuing. The Jamaat has achieved extraordinary status in the electronic and print media in Ghana. On 2 of the famous highways of Ghana, Amir Sahib expended a lot of effort to place very large billboards along the path. Everyone travelling to and fro sees the poster, which had written on them that the awaited Messiah has come and this is the Messiah. This is how they are openly carrying out preaching there in Ghana. He also received worldly accolades and honors. They include, in Korea, the Inter-Religious and International Federation of World Peace, USA, for selfless and glorious efforts for peace. He was given the honor of Ambassador of Peace. Similarly, from the government of Ghana, Amir Sahib Ghana, in acknowledgement of his work in education, health, agriculture, and for the peace of nation, he was given a special national award of Companion of the Order of Volta. On 10th November 2007, acknowledging his achievements, a large university, the University of Cape Coast, awarded him an honorary PhD. So these are the blessings of doing waqf, devoting your life with sincere intentions. So along with serving the faith, Allah gave him worldly blessings and rewards. If he was not a waqf, he may have done some other business or work, and nobody would have known who Wahab Sahib was. Then on an international level, his responsibilities are as follows. The Center for Democratic Development, Ghana, he was a member of it. The Ghana Integrity Initiative, he was the vice chairman of it. National Peace Council member, and he played a prominent role there. He played a very prominent role in Ghana to unite the political classes to establish peace and governance. He was a co-founder and national president of the Council for Religions, which was represented by people of different faiths. He is also a member of the National Reconciliation Commission. He was here in London in 1974 when there were extremely perilous circumstances in Pakistan faced by the Jamaat, which was facing a period of tribulation. So Wahab Sahib, along with the Imam of the Fazl Mosque here, worked night and day. He would continuously stay awake many nights and relayed information to the press and media. In 1973, Wahab Sahib was made the deputy editor of the Muslim Herald. He started two new columns in this. One, the London Diary. In this, there will be monthly reports. And the other column was called Your Question Answered. Questions received by different people would be variously answered. In addition, in the London Mosque Study Circle, he presented numerous subjects and topics which particularly answered the questions of the new generation. The Vice President of Ghana, Amisa that he was a glorious leader of our nation. Upon the demise of this glorious leader, the government of Ghana is equally saddened in pain and loss with the family of his and also the Ahmadiyya Muslim Mission. For the efforts he made for peace, we will always remember him. Similarly, the leadership that he did of the Ahmadiyya community in Ghana, the work that he made for the educational development is something we will never forget. With a heavy heart, we say goodbye to a scholar and religious leader. May the efforts that he made to establish peace always remain forever. The former president of Ghana, John Ajikom Kofor, said, he was a great religious and national leader. Dr. Mustafa Ahmed, who is a member of parliament and minister of state, who is a Muslim, said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He said, Ghana has lost a very respect-worthy son. The efforts that he made to establish peace, the country will continue to reap benefits from it. We will always remember his extraordinary endeavors. May Allah the Almighty elevate his status. Charles G. Palmer Bucker, who is a Catholic Archbishop of Accra. He relates that he was the standard bearer of serving humanity. He was a messenger of peace, and he would spread love. He was established upon such high viewpoints and thoughts, and the works that he established, may they remain forever. Reverend Professor Emmanuel Sante, who is the president or the head bishop of the Methodist Church, and also the chairman of the National Peace Council, relates, an extremely peaceful person, one who loved his nation, a great leader, has suddenly returned to his Lord. The National Peace Council will always maintain his values that he adopted for establishing peace. Similarly, other people have also written their remarks. Representative of the Foreign Ministry, Haji Muhammad Gardu Sahib, who is a deputy chairman of the Governing Council and the Ghana Council of Religious Peace, said that we have lost a great pillar of the Muslim community. According to the rest of the world, Ahmadis are not Muslims. But here the Muslim organizations say that we have lost a large pillar of the Muslim community. He established bridges of tolerance between different faiths. Maulvi Wahab Adam Sahib was an extremely talented, able, and a leader who united people. He spent a large part of his life devoted to serving humanity. Then his son has related some of the circumstances relating to his life. Hassan Wahab Sahib says, my father was a true servant and devoted loyal soldier of Khilafat. For every important matter, he would seek guidance from the Khalifa. At times, he would also write to the Khalifa for even apparently small matters. For example, 1 week before his demise, when due to his illness, he became quite weak. The doctor said to him to go to the hospital. He replied to the doctor that first take permission from the Khalifa of the time, only then I will go. Relating to his thankfulness and gratitude, his son writes, he had vast experience of life, and whichever accounts he would relate it would have a deep impression on morality. In 1990, when one of his sons went abroad, then he complained to Wahab Sahib that it takes a long time to contact back home. The letters reach after a long time. Email and internet facilities were not available at that time. Upon this, Wahab Sahib counseled him that, look, when I was studying in Rabwa, then it took 6 months for my letters to reach my mother. You should be thankful to God. that nowadays we have these more modern communications. Regarding his habit of being always hardworking, the son says that sometimes we saw that after the Fajr prayer he would begin his work. Then apart from his prayer times and eating, he would continue working as long as the next Fajr. When the last days of his life he could not sit down due to his illness, we saw him working whilst lying down. He would write long notes and wrong letters until the end. And he kept on sending me letters until his death. He would always write his own letters by his hand. And one of his other qualities was that he would write it in Urdu. Regarding his tolerance, patience and good nature, his son said that he was a very pleasant person. For example, during his illness, we knew that he was not well. And we knew that he was fighting for his life, but despite this, he never mentioned and uttered a word regarding his illness. In fact, whenever we asked him about it, he would say that, "I am better than before," whereas we could see that day by day he was becoming weaker. Even in the harshest days of his illness, he would joke and relate jokes to us. In the context of the illness that he faced, he endured it with great patience, and only he can do this who has absolute belief in Allah the Almighty and acts patiently purely for the sake of pleasing Allah the Almighty. He had pancreatic cancer, and some people would assert at the time that perhaps he was unaware of the extent of his illness. However, people were wrong. He knew everything. He was satisfied and content with the fact that Allah had given him a good life. Alhamdulillah. And he was content with the will of God that either Allah the Almighty should cure him or Allah the Almighty's decree should come into pass. Regarding this, Zubair Khalil Sahib says that previously I had the opportunity to go with Wahab Sahib to a specialist doctor for a checkup. When the doctor notified him of his fatal illness, he laughed and said, "I have a God." We also ask Khalifa of the time for prayers, who does pray for us. "If Allah wills me to die, then I am satisfied with this." The doctor, listening to what he said, was quite moved. He said he saw in a dream. The one who writes this account says that he says in a dream that you are announcing on the TV that Amir Ghana is a Noor, a spiritual light. His son further relates, relating to his hospitality, whoever would go to meet him, he would present juice himself. Many Muslim and non-Muslim friends have said this to me, that Wahab Sahib would treat us like his own children. Whenever anyone asked him for any advice, he would always make sure he helped them. In Ghana, coconut is particularly presented for hospitality, and this is specially kept in the fridge to present to guests. So recently, Mubarak Zafar Sahib went to Ghana, and he says, despite Wahab Sahib's illness, he made an effort to himself open the coconut, insert the straw, and present it to him. He could not even lift up his hands himself fully, so with someone else's help, he tried to put the straw in. So this was his special quality of hospitality that he made every effort to fulfill until his last breath. The wife of Basharat Bashir Sahib writes, when Wahab Sahib completed his education and with the grace of Allah became a successful missionary, then from the very beginning Wahab Sahib had great humility. I was married in 1974. I saw that Wahab Sahib would visit our home and say to me that give me the shoes of Mulana Sahib, that is Basharat Bashir Sahib, to polish them. I became extremely worried that how would I take this service from a young Murabbi missionary. But he would insist upon this. And he would do this because of the kindness of Basharat Bashir Sahib bringing him to Rabwa, and he wanted to return this. And anyway, he had great respect for teachers. Similarly, he wrote a long article on the demise of Basharat Bashir Sahib. And when she mentioned this, he became extremely happy. The son relates another account, that there are many incidents where he used his contacts to help people. And he would even help people who he did not know before. Once a widow came to him. and it was said that she is a widow and she desired to carry out some work to stand up on her own feet, for which she requires financial aid. My father never knew this widow before, but my father helped her so she could begin her own business. Wahab Sahib would be extremely kind and loving to children. Whenever he would meet any children, he would give them chocolates and sweets and balloons, which he would keep in his pocket. Once someone complained to me about his bad treatment. I said, I do not believe this, but nonetheless I forwarded this to Wahab Sahib, to which he responded, that I always place myself into hardship to take care of others. Nonetheless, there is always a group of people who are bent on complaining, whether they are treated in a good manner or otherwise. Then, relating to his relationship and loyalty with Khilafat, always believe that no task should be formed without asking the Khalifa, Dr. Tasir Sahib writes, quality of Wahab Sahib was that he always obeyed. So Dr. Tasir Sahib himself was a doctor in Ghana. He says, once during the time of Hazrat Qutumsi IV, a non-Ahmadi radiographer suggested to place an x-ray machine in the hospital, which apparently seemed like something positive for the hospital. When I asked Wahab Sahib about this, Wahab Sahib said, before deciding anything, do not go forward until you receive permission from the Khalifa of the time. First seek permission and then act. So when he asked permission, the permission was not given, and therefore they were saved from many difficulties. Mahmoud Nasir Saki Sahib, the Amir Jamaat of Mali, who previously lived in Burkina Faso, Mahmoud Nasir Sahib that is, he relates that Wahab Sahib was a missionary who was a role model for those of us who came behind him. On many occasions, I had the opportunity to meet him. I have seen that place in the village in Burkina Faso where he would once reside, in a mud hut. Through the efforts of Wahab Sahib, Jamaat Ahmadiyya Burkina Faso was established in 1986 and was registered. In the 2005 Jalsa Salana Burkina Faso, I sent him as a representative. So there he recalled many of his memories. In the circumstances in which he came to Burkina Faso, how the Jamaat was registered, there were many difficulties which, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, were all removed. The Burkina Faso Jamaat was established through him. Just to go and see it. Upon the Khilafat Jubilee Jalsa, there was a cycle delegation from Burkina Faso. He sent a message that he would welcome them himself in Tamale. Despite his engagements, he went there, which was 203-mile journey, and he welcomed them on the border. Hafiz Mashud Sahib says, once a few years ago, I said that it's prevalent amongst the people of Africa that Ahmadis do not do Hajj, and non-Ahmadis have spread this far and wide. And I said that this is why our Muballighin, our missionaries, should go for Hajj, and a scheme was started for this purpose. So Mashud Sahib said that I suggested to Wahab Sahib that he suggests the names of different people to go for the Hajj. Why do you not go yourself? So he immediately responded that I am already a Haji. So I could not understand this. So seeing my confusion, Wahab Sahib said, once during the time of Hadrat Khalifa Masih III, I had intended to go for Hajj. But at the time, the Minister of Religious Affairs was a Muslim. He opposed this greatly and blocked me from being granted a visa. After a short period of time, Wahab Sahib met Khalifa Masih III, who said, what are the reasons for you not being granted a visa? When Wahab Sahib informed him of the reasons, then Hazrat Khalifa Masih III remained silent for a short period of time and kept looking at him. Then he said, just now Allah the Almighty has shown me in a vision that you are doing the tawaf, you are circling around the Kaaba, and 60,000-70,000 people are doing the tawaf with you. So this is why he said that I am already a Haji. So this does not make any difference to me. Patience was a great quality he displayed. One of his son-in-laws was in America, who was martyred. Some robbers or vagabonds attacked him and he was martyred on the spot. So on that day in Jamia Ahmadiyya, Ghana, it was the annual educational award ceremony. Before coming to the program, Amir Sahib was informed about this killing. Now, evidently, a father had just found out that his daughter has become a widow. He would naturally be concerned. A grown-up daughter with three young children. So Amir Sahib remained 3 or 4 hours in that program and did not let any visible sign be shown from his face of his concern. He spent the entire function smiling. And in the evening when the entire program finished, he then informed us that this tragedy has occurred and today my daughter has been widowed and my young son-in-law has been killed and martyred. A Russian person, Kanat Beg Sahib, says, in 2008, I had the opportunity to attend the Jalsa Salana, Ghana. I was invited to come to the residence of Amir Sahib, Ghana. Amir Sahib met me in his traditional dress, embraced me, and he met me in such a manner that my 5 days of exhaustion through my journey all vanished. He says, even now when I look at the pictures, I feel the warmth in his hands. One aspect of his conduct which I really liked was that he was seated beside the president of the country. Whilst he extended respect to the president, he gave the exact same respect to those on duty and that person who was holding the umbrella to block out the sun. He asked each one turn by turn, have you tired? Are you thirsty? In other words, he would care for the rich and wealthy, but he would equally take care of the poor and impoverished. We were staying in the guest house, he continues to relate. So when Wahab Sahib turned around to see whether the rows are straight or not, so the Russian guest did not have a prayer mat underneath him. Amir Sahib considered that perhaps he would not be able to offer the prayer properly on that floor. So Wahab Sahib picked up his own prayer mat and gave it to him. So on the next day, he would bring 2 prayer mats. Majid Sahib relates that his connection with Khilafat and the manner in which he obeyed was exemplary. So he related an account. Last year in the afternoon, he came to the office. Everyone was eating their lunch. He said he wanted to phone Ghana. Majid Sahib said that I said to him that first have some food, then phone after. He said no. Khalifatul Masih has given an instruction. I need to convey that right now so that work can start immediately. Food can be eaten later. So then he phoned. He conveyed my message and he told them to immediately start the work and give a report. His humility and humbleness was such that whenever he came into the office and would be seated in the office in Majid Sahib, he would stand up. For the reason that he would say that you are our officer, it is our duty to respect you. Once they were eating lunch in the office and there was excessive salt in the food, Majid Sahib, perhaps because of blood pressure, does not eat that much salt. So Wahab Sahib silently got up, went to the office and brought his food from there. He said that I have checked that there is less salt in this. So these are the people who, in accordance with the Quranic commandment, give preference to other people's emotions over their own. Qureshi Daud Sahib, who has stayed for some time in Ghana, also relates that apart from as a regional missionary, I also had the opportunity to work with him with the Urdu letters. He always treated everyone with great kindness and love. He said, once I went to Pakistan on leave and when I returned, I said to one of my friends that my flight is arriving at 11 o'clock at night, so come and collect me. He said, when I exited the plane, I was astonished beyond bounds. Even at that time at night, Abdul Wahab Adam Sahib was stood at the door from where we enter into the airport. After clearing immigration with prayers, he then saw him off. He taught us to write letters to Hazur with such respect upon writing Urdu letters at times. If there was any mistake in the letter that we were writing to the Hazur, then when we would try to correct that report with Tipex, he would reject it and say, no, rewrite the entire letter, because if it is sent like this, it is disrespectful. Mirza Nasir Sahib writes, he would not leave off the work to be carried out at another time. He would always carry it out there and then. He would complete his work with great passion and effort and then leave. He would also greatly encourage other workers. Once a function was being held several hundred kilometers away. He took Mirza Sahib with him. It was a dirt path which was completely broken and also extremely bumpy. When, after a long journey, he arrived there, he learned that the event had been postponed. It is a very hard and difficult journey. But he did not express anything, nor show any anger or displeasure whatsoever, although the principal there had previously informed about this, but the cable could not be received. Many Waqfi in Zindagi's life devotees write that sometimes, due to the circumstances, milk was not available, so he would immediately make arrangements for it. Similarly, Majid Bashir Sahib and others have written about this. Then Dr. Abdul Khaliq Sahib says that once he met me in Rabwa, he did not know me. I told him that I am the son of Mulana Ghulam Bari Sahib. He then got up and embraced him and said that you are the son of my teacher and extended me great respect. Khalid Sahib of Russian Desk relates, when I informed him once that I have come from Russia, he said that you are very fortunate, you are a very lucky person. I was astonished and said that why is he saying this? That you and your missionaries working in Russia are very lucky and fortunate. Upon this, he responded that it is a prophecy of a prophet, the promised Messiah, that the Jamaat would spread there in large numbers and would achieve great progress. So you are very lucky and blessed that you are a part of this. So thus he had this complete faith and conviction. And he expressed this, that those missionaries who have just entered there, they should also be blessed, that they are going to become a part of the history. Similarly, Malik Muzaffar Sahib says that once I realized his political influence and persuasion, that I was traveling from Accra to Tema, two cities, and on the way there was a barrier. There was a newspaper being sold there. I saw Wahab Sahib's photo on the front page of the newspaper. I inquired from the local missionary, who said that just a few weeks ago, there was a general election held in Ghana. And the party won the election with just a small margin, which the government was not accepting. So there was threat of a lot of disorder on this occasion. Wahab Sahib met both parties and made full efforts to bring about peace between the parties. So this newspaper was reporting the story and the country was admiring his efforts. Shamshad Sahib, who is nowadays a missionary in the USA, but has lived in Ghana. Said, once I was transferred to Sierra Leone, the city I was in, there, the people made a delegation and went to Wahab Sahib, Amir Sahib, trying to reason with him that Shamshad Sahib should remain in Ghana. Upon this, Wahab Sahib said, look, the local president of a community desires the progress and prosperity of his local community. The regional chairman desires progress in his region. The emir of his country desires the progress of his country. So most of all, above us is the Khalifatul Masih. He wishes to see progress all over the world. So therefore, who is appointed where is known best by the Khalifa. If he is being transferred to Sierra Leone from Ghana, then the Khalifa knows that his services are required more there. If we write to the Khalifatul Masih to ask him to not be transferred, this would be against etiquettes. It was explained to them that, look, I respect your sentiments. However, despite this, It is our duty to fulfill the directive of the Khalifatul Masih. So thus he further greatly explained to them the importance and significance of Khilafat and its blessings. This is how those people gain further knowledge and understanding into how Khilafat should be respected. There is one account which is humorous related by Mubarak Siddiqui Sahib. He says, Wahab Adam Sahib came here and one day sat in my taxi and asked me to take him to the London Mosque. So I knew him, but he was unacquainted with me. I have quite a mischievous nature and like to joke. So Mubarak Sahib said to Wahab Sahib, why are you going to that mosque? It is an Ahmadi mosque. As soon as he heard this, Wahab Sahib started preaching to him and said that according to the prophecies of the Holy Prophet, the promised Messiah's advent has occurred. After thorough research, we have accepted him, whilst you are sitting idle and have rejected him. So he reached the Masjid Fazl, and for a long period of time, he remained seated and preached to me. He said, I said jokingly to him, but I said it to him seriously, that I have heard that your kalama is separate. Upon this, he said, our kalama is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Then he began grabbing me by the arm and said, come in and I will show you the mosque. So after quite some time, I joined my hands together and said, I know you. In fact, I respect you greatly. I am an Ahmadi and I am a local guide. I was only joking. Upon this, Wahab Sahib greatly laughed and said, if you had not informed me of this, I would have picked you up myself and carried you in. Indeed, he would have done so. Atta'ul Majib Sahib relates, as I have said previously, that Wahab Sahib served as the Amiri Makami in Rabwa. Atta'ul Majib Sahib has written, and I also recall this, that for a short period of time, Hadrat Khalifatul Masih III went out of Rabwa and he appointed Wahab Sahib as the Amiri Makami. Mulana Abdul Atta Sahib was appointed as the Naib Amir, and he would always become tearful upon this. Indeed, when I was in Ghana, he told me on numerous occasions that Hadrat Khalifatul Masih III desired to give me a lesson and counsel me. Hadrat Khalifatul Masih III had his own manner of doing so. The admonishment was as a result of some reports that he had received of some Ghanaians who asserted that when we have our own Ghanaian missionary who is talented and able, why is he not made our Amir and instead we have a Pakistani Amir? So the lesson Khalifatul Masih was giving is that you are speaking of Ghana whilst I am making you the Amir of Rabwa. So Wahab Sahib said it gave me a great lesson. This is why then in the Jamaat there, he entrenched within them the realization of the respect for Khilafat. When recently in the year that he was here, the Ghana Jamaat decided that the Jalsa should not be held because our arrangements would not be proper. I expressed some displeasure upon this. I said to Wahab Sahib that you have come here and people behind have begun to think in this manner. So what is going on? Bilal Sahib says that Wahab Sahib was quite dejected and melancholy because of this. He would normally always be smiling, but on that day he remained in deep thought, phoned him, and in a dim voice would say something. He said, this is the only time when I have seen him serious and visibly concerned. But actually, his restlessness was an expression of his love for Khilafat. So after his treatment here, when he returned, he made the entire letter write a letter of forgiveness to me, that we have made a mistake and we will hold a Jalsa. With the grace of Allah, the Jalsa was held and it was very successful. And he wrote that the Jalsa this year was more successful than in previous years, and the facilities were better. So most certainly, this was as a result of obedience to Khilafat. In this way, in his every decision, he thought that he would obey the Khalifa like a heartbeat. Fahim Bhatti Sahib said that he was very selfless. He said, once I went to him, although he was ill, he was washing dishes in the sink. I said, let me wash them, and he said, no, there is no need at all. He then related an incident. He said, once he went to Pakistan on leave, and Hadrat Khalifatul Masih III said, you do not have any holiday. Go to the villages and work there. Wahab Sahib relates that the experience I gained from going to the villages benefited me greatly, and I saw the wisdom in the decision of the Khalifa of the time. Those people who would work all night, Wahab Sahib would ask them for tea and take care of them himself. Salim al-Haq Sahib relates that one day the decision was due from the Supreme Court Ghana when Wahab Sahib was here in the previous year. I met him after Hajjah and he said, "My TV is broken, please fix it, because I need to give a report to the Khalifatul Masih regarding this verdict." So he relates that I was not aware of how to fix it, but my children will do so. So his children did fix it, upon which Wahab Sahib was delighted. He gave them chocolates and he said that you are warriors of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. And he said these youth will become the means of a bright future and the great progress of the Jamaat. Inshallah, they will be victorious, and this is the way he would encourage them. Ibrahim Ikhlaf Sahib has also met him. He writes that there was no pretentiousness in him. He had great love and devotion for Khilafat. Whenever any central representative went to Ghana, he would respect them greatly. I mentioned that I also had lived in Ghana. I have stayed in Amir Sahib's home for a few days in the beginning. He would take care of the smallest matters, including Pakistani food. Not just me, but every Pakistani that would go to Ghana, he would take care of them. One good quality of his, which I have seen, is of Nawafil and Tahajjud. Once, after a long journey in Tamale, the northern region, he came there. It was a very bad road, a long journey, which caused exhaustion, and he arrived at 11 o'clock and had dinner, and became free at 12 o'clock. At night, I awoke, and I saw outside, and in the courtyard where the mats would be laid out of the mosque. I saw in great humility, he was offering his tahajjud, and it was 1:30 at night. Who knows how long he was offering it for? He perhaps only slept for half an hour or 45 minutes and said his Nawafil prayer. Whether tired or anything else, he never left saying his Nawafil. Once in Damale, a Murabbi Sahib, a missionary, before non-Ahmadis and before me, behaved very badly. Wahab Sahib did not say anything. I was angry and I also admonished that missionary. All Wahab Sahib said in Urdu that be careful of the Jamaat's honor and dignity before non-Ahmadis, but he remained silent otherwise. Then he said to me that, "Look, what he says such things, what effect will it have on the non-Ahmadis?" So he had lots of pain and all he was concerned of was the Jamaat's honor and dignity. So then such people do not even remain as Waqf. That missionary returned to the Markaz and was alleviated. But seeing Wahab Sahib's patience at the time astonished me. Although he was Amir, he could have taken any action. When I was yet in Ghana, on many occasions he would mention to me with heartfelt pain that some missionaries do make a lot of effort, but there are other missionaries who do not work better and only respond that we cannot work any harder than this, whereas they should endeavor to open new avenues of preaching and we should convey the message. What he said was 100% correct. Some people merely assume that the manner they are already adopting has been established and they should continue following the same line, and no new method should be adopted. Nonetheless, Wahab Sahib always endeavored to convey the message of Ahmadiyyat, the true message of Islam, everywhere. For this, he would make personal efforts, and he would also expect others to do so. For this, he would remain restless, and he would pray. He never had any greed. In Rabwa, Pakistan, the Jamaat workers at the very beginning would be given some plots at a cheap price. In the previous year, he wrote to me, perhaps for the reason that Jamaat's money is being spent on his treatment. So in order to compensate this, he said that the plot that was worth hundreds of thousands of rupees, he said that I would like to give it to the Jamaat and I am doing so. So it is also that he had no worldly greed or avarice at all. The property worth at least 20-25,000 rupees, he handed over to the Jamaat. His death was also given great state honor. the president of the country in his state house had his funeral and memorial service with full protocol. The funeral was accompanied by the police, the army and parliamentary forces, cars arranged by the government, and he was given full honor. Then there was a memorial service, and in the state house, different ministers, the president, the vice president, all eulogized about him. The representative of the president, the speaker of parliament, who is a representative of the president, and also the vice president was also present there. So he was given full protocol and complete respect and honor. So the different religious leaders there, including Christians, also spoke in great admiration of him. Farid Sahib, who is the principal of the Jamia Ahmadiyya, Ghana, he spoke about the Islamic philosophy of life and death, in light of the Quran and the Hadith. And with the extracts of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. So with the grace of the Almighty Allah, he was given full protocol and respect and was sent off in this manner. He was buried in the Musian graveyard in Ghana. There was ample coverage in Ghana and also Ghana television, and it was broadcast through streaming all over the world. He leaves behind his wife, Maryam Wahab Sahiba, four sons and three daughters. May Allah the Almighty keep all of them in their protection and in peace. May Allah the Almighty enable them to establish such a strong connection with Khilafat, as he also demonstrated and he desired from his children. May Allah the Almighty grant those he left behind with patience and tolerance. May Allah elevate the rank of Wahab Sahib and grant him a position amongst his loved ones.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ